at the close of the hearing. I will try to remind the board that we'd want to make a modification to or a correction to the complaint, because it should, instead of saying March 22nd, she documented providing treatment in April, it should actually say April 22nd, 2017. So I will ask the board to do that at the end. Again, what areas do we have that were treated but weren't evaluated?
So we do not have a flow sheet for this date of service, but if you look into the objective findings section of the daily note, you'll find that thoracic lumbar junction, lumbar sacral junction, cervical thoracic junction, hypomobility with right greater than left paraspinal hypertonicity and sensitivity, thoracic extension moderately limited with end range pain, lumbar all planes mod limited with contractile pain. So we have that. We do not have any flow sheet on this date of service that would indicate what treatment was done. So.
All right, so the lack of a flow sheet could be that it just wasn't provided to us or it didn't exist, but we don't know.
It's one of those incomplete things in the record.
Okay, all right. Right, thank you. I'd like to again turn your attention now to dates 400, and this deals with the date of service of 4/22/17. And on this date, again, do we have again recurrent complaints to areas that were not assessed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And again, what was the intervention that was used in this case?
So on 4/22. There is no treatment flow sheet associated with this date of service. The documentation, again, in the assessment, there's two places that kind of indicate what went on. In the objective findings, again, we have Ms. Lasky documenting examination, or at least findings regarding examination of the thoracic lumbar spine, and as well as the left upper trap, or as well as the cervical region. In the assessment, Ms. Lasky documents patient denied increased symptoms post-treatment and remains responsive to her current plan of care with improving thoracic lumbar junction and lumbar sacral junction mobility. Cervical thoracic junction symptoms persist with reduced provocation following HVLAT.
Turning to when this note was signed by Ms. Lasky, what is the date and time on that?
So it was the same. It was actually Ms. Lasky completed this note 15 minutes after the provision of treatment.
Okay. All right. And that would be, am I reading this correctly, April 27th, 2017 at 11:15 p.m.?
A.m.
I'm sorry, AM. Yeah, B. Okay. All right, and I'd like you to take a look at dates 293, if you could, and can you tell me what date and time that note was on?
Dates 293 is documentation for date 4/17/07. It was signed also on April 22nd, 2017, 1 minute prior to the completion of this note at 11:14. So she documented and closed the note for the date of service on 4/17/17 at 11:14, completed and signed the note for date of service 4/22 1 minute later at 11:15 a.m.
All right, and do you have an opinion about those two notes being completed 1 minute apart?
It's very quick.
Okay. Thank you. All right, I'd like to draw your attention to Bates 404, and that is dealing with a date of service of 4/26/2017. Okay, Dr. Donahue, is this note specific enough to allow another therapist to assume the patient's care?
Since there is no treatment flowchart associated with this date of service, it would be impossible for anybody taking over the plan of care for this patient to be able to duplicate the treatment interventions.
Okay. And under assessments and diagnoses, it says patient is showing improved TNL Spine, A-R-O-M. Again, is this discussing areas that are beyond what was assessed by the physical therapist?
Again, in this entire episode of care, the thoracic spine is never examined by a physical therapist.
All right, thank you. I just want to draw your attention to one of the notes that we've had some discussion about the licensed massage therapist. So I'd like to draw your attention to one of those notes that's contained in here. I believe this is an acupuncture note, and I'd like to draw your attention to Bates 420. And this is the date of service of 5/18/2017. And this note does this note describe acupuncture that was performed on this patient?
It does.
All right. Is acupuncture something that's within the scope of physical therapy?
It is not.
Okay. So is it something that can be delegated by a physical therapist?
It is not.
Is it something that can be co-signed by a physical therapist and billed as physical therapy?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Does this practice occur within these notes regarding the use of an acupuncturist?
Repeatedly.
Okay. All right. And during your interview of Ms. Lasky in this case, was there an understanding on her part regarding about the legality of that?
Ms. Lasky in her interview believed that because each individual was licensed through their own board, that a physical therapist could delegate and make those services part of the plan of care.
But in fact, because acupuncture does not fall within the scope of practice of a physical therapist, that is not legally permitted.
No, that would be like a physical therapist telling a surgeon to do surgery.
Okay. All right. And then billing it as physical therapy.
And then billing it as physical therapy.
All right. Thank you. All right. State is completed with the medical records of patient YG. We'd like to draw your attention to the patient records of patient EM, unless anybody needs a break at this point. Now, patient EM in this case, Dr. Donahue, if you would like to, that's in State's Exhibit 6. It starts at Bates 184. We have some flow sheets that are included in there. And then we have the first note, and that would be at Bates 190. Can you please tell us the date of service?
The date of service is September 15, 2016.
This is the first note within here, and was this documented by the actual physical therapist in this case?
It was.
Okay. All right. And then what areas are within the diagnosis and treatment?
What regions did the physical therapist examine?
Yes.
So the physical therapist documents the patient complaining of arm and leg weakness, some difficulty with balance, that she fell in June, fractured her right patella. She also has some secondary conditions that are noteworthy. Then in the objective, she documents a range of motion for the shoulder bilaterally. And that is all she documents.
Okay. And then the first date of service is at Bates 234, and this is when Ms. Lasky goes ahead and provides treatment to the patient on this date. Now, on this date, you reviewed the schedules, and the schedule indicated that the supervising physical therapist, Ms. Lish, was not in the facility on that date. Is that true?
So on 1/3/17, the schedule indicates that Ms. Liz is not providing therapy services on this date. She's not in the facility at all. Indicates that the patient, EM, is not identified on Ms. Lasky's schedule on this date of service. There is a different patient that was scheduled at this time that it's recorded that Ms. Lasky is treating this patient, which would be patient PA. There's no physical therapist identified as being in the facility at all at this date of treatment, according to the schedule. And the schedule may indicate that Ms. Marks was not present for this particular visit because she's unidentifiable on the schedule.
Okay. So all those factors call into the question the validity of this note?
Yes.
Without getting into anything any further? Would that be fair?
That would be correct.
Okay, all right. Then let's just again take a look at Bates 235. But Ms. Lasky went ahead and closed this note out on February 2nd, 2017, at 1:53 p.m. About 1 month after the treatment in this case.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Then turning to Bates 238, that would be a reevaluation that occurred. And again, I know we've discussed this both with Ms. Lasky and with you, but can you please summarize this reevaluation note here? So starting at 238.
So on 1/12/2017 for patient VM, there's documented a re-examination, which is consistent with change as a Medicare functional report, as well as changes in objective tests and measures. There is changes in the G codes. It's a Medicare patient in which Ms. Lasky is identified as the primary documenter, which she documents on February 2nd, almost a month later. So this reevaluation was documented potentially a month later afterwards, with Ms. Lasky indicating that she is the one that performed the reevaluation, consistent with all of the records that review. That note then is turned around and co-signed sometime after the close of that note, which in this case is the same day, by Ms. Lish.
All right, thank you. Again, there are irregularities regarding this note, and in addition to that a PTA performed a reevaluation.
Because there are actual changes in objective tests and measures and G codes, this was a deliberate act of doing a reevaluation by Ms. Lasky. Okay. It wasn't just a copy and paste forward.
All right. Okay. So this is actual new information that's been injected
right
in the record.
There have been changes to objective tests and measures, as well as changes to the G codes, which indicate plan of care and critical thinking that only a physical therapist would be able to complete.
Okay. And again, this is substandard care under our statute?
Well, it means that a reevaluation wasn't performed because it wasn't performed by a licensed professional. So there is no reevaluation occurring, which means there's no review of the plan of care, which means that, you know, none of those things occurred. However, it was billed as a reeval, and I believe the documentation was sent to the physician as well.
Okay, all right. So there was compensation from that went back in action?
Correct.
Okay, and this patient really didn't get the patient care that...
There was no physical therapist evaluating the plan of care and the need for continued care.
All right, thank you. All right, let's turn to the next documentation of January 26, 2017, and that would be at Bates 248. Could you summarize this note and whether or not there was any PT supervision based on your review of the records and the schedule?
This was documented by Ms. Lasky, mm-hmm, on February 15th for date of service 126. The time in and time out of the documented time the patient is in the clinic is 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The schedule indicates, and Ms. Lish indicated in her interview in a previous case, that she only worked in the afternoon. So the schedule for Ms. Lish doesn't start until 1:30 p.m., in which we have no identified physical therapist in the facility at this time.
Okay. And And again, if there was that type of supervision, there would need to be notation in the medical record.
There should be documentation that Ms. Lasky is working under general supervision, and that never occurs in any of the records in which we identify that a physical therapist is not present in the facility.
Thank you. All right, now turning to the next document, that would be at dates 250. This is date of service of 2217. And can you please, again, describe supervision in this note, whether it occurred?
Same scenario is documented by Ms. Lasky. Date 22, the note was concluded on March 28th. The documentation indicates the patient was in the facility at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Ms. Lish doesn't start providing services to patients until 2:30 in the afternoon on that day.
Okay. All right. And was the note signed approximately 8 weeks later on March 28th, 2017?
Correct.
Okay. Again. All right. Thank you. Now, turning to dates 254, this would be dates of date of service of February 9th of 2017. And again, can you please speak to the supervision by a physical therapist?
Same scenario. Ms. Lasky documents that she performed treatment. The patient record indicates the patient was there at 9:30 in the morning to 10:25 a.m. Ms. Lish's schedule does not start patient care until 2 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'd like you to take a look at the objective findings on page 254 and compare them to Bates 250.
They're identical to the previous note.
Okay. All right, and again, does that call into question their accuracy and validity?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Turning to Bates 260. Again, what is this date of service?
This date of service is March 20th, 2017.
Okay, and who signs this note?
Ms. Lasky indicates that she provided treatment on this date of service.
Okay, and what kind of treatment did she provide on this date of service?
So we do not have a flow sheet for this date of service either, but if we look at the objective findings, we can read that bilateral straight leg raise limited to 30 degrees with a hamstring strain, heel to gluteals modified limited to quad strain, bilateral cervical thoracic junction, lumbar sacral junction, paraspinal hypertonicity and sensitivity.
All right, thank you. Then turning to the Bates 262, and that would be a date of service of March 21st, 2017. What happened on this date?
So for the second time, we see Ms. Lasky engaging in the documentation of the reevaluation. But this particular date has many interesting factors to it. So on this date, according to the schedule indicates that Ms. Lasky is actually not seeing patients on this date of service. There isn't a single patient assigned to her on this day. The schedule indicates actually that Ms. Lasky is a patient of Mr. Fandry's at 10 a.m. during the same day. So she is being treated by Mr. Fandry, but she's not engaging in patient care. The schedule indicates that patient EM is scheduled to have treatment actually provided by the massage therapist, Mr. Hogue, and there's no documentation at all in the record that Mr. Hogue actually provided any treatment on this date of service, so we have no idea what was going on this date of service, whether the patient was there, whether Mr. Hogue provided treatment, but what we do have is documentation that Ms. Lasky engaged in the performance, or at least the documentation of a reexamination.
Okay. And again, reevaluation, that's not something that a physical therapist assistant can perform?
Correct.
Okay. And was this billed for, in your understanding?
It was.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then at Bates 268, can you turn to that page 268 and tell us what happened on that date of service?
So this is date of service 3/27/17. Patient is seen from 10 o'clock to 11 a.m. The schedule indicates that Mr. Fandry is actually not going to provide services to patients until 1:30 and may not be present in the facility. Is that your question?
Yes. And then what about the co-signing? When was this note finalized?
So this treatment date of service was on March 27, 2017. Ms. Lasky closes out this note on May 2, 2017. Mr. Vandrey co-signs it 3 days later on May 2nd. And Mr. Vandrey co-signs this note on May 5th.
Okay. And then, again, because we don't have a physical therapist that's in the facility, according to the schedule, there's, again, not to keep repeating myself, but there's nothing in this medical record regarding delegation, supervision, or law.
That's correct.
Thank you. And then, again, just to briefly revisit our discussion regarding the use of licensed massage therapist and the acupuncturist, so I'd like to draw your attention to page 270. And this is a daily note that's done by the licensed massage therapist.
Correct.
Okay. Now, in this note, The actual current complaint and complaints and gains report stiffness, this is identical to what was in, and although this is not Ms. Lasky's note, but this is identical to what was in Ms. Lasky's previous note. Is that correct?
Mr. Hoag's documentation of the subjective report of the patient is identical to Ms. Lasky's, as she documented on 327-17.
Okay. Again, this note is co-signed by a DPT, Dr. Vandrey, is that correct?
That's correct.
And do we know whether or not at all this note correlates to the plan of care in this case?
So it does not. In the documentation that's reported, there are treatments to region of the body, specifically the cervical spine, by the massage therapist, in which a physical therapist has not examined.
Okay. All right. So then that practice that also the physical therapist assistant engaged in this case of treating areas that weren't assessed is also found within the licensed massage therapist who's part of the plan of care?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That would complete our notes regarding patient YG in this case. And the final record involves patient SR. Service of 12/31/2016. Is this the initial evaluation that we've been discussing all morning?
It is.
Okay. All right. Again, could you please summarize your concerns in this document?
So this is an initial examination of patient SR. It is documented as being performed by Ms. Lasky, and more concerning, it is co-signed by Mr. Vandrey a day later. So this date of service was 12/31/16. Ms. Lasky concludes that note on February 8, 2017, and co-signed by Mr. Vandrey on February 9th.
All right, now without getting into the state of mind of the physical therapist that co-signed this note, let me just give you a hypothetical situation. If a physical therapist in conformity with the law comes across a note where a PTA is doing an initial evaluation, what would be the prudent and ethical thing to do at that point?
Well, that should never happen to begin with, but okay. If the physical therapist is unaware of it occurring, the moment they were going to co-sign it, they should have realized that this was not legal to perform, and one, not co-sign the note, and two, then engage the patient in an actual examination.
Okay. All right. Now, let's say, hypothetically, and I believe not even hypothetically, what if the patient had been seen previously in the clinic, and they're coming back for a new series of physical therapy. Is it okay for the physical therapist assistant to go ahead and do that initial evaluation?
No, it is the total responsibility of the physical therapist to perform the examination of the patient to determine the plan of care for the new episode of care.
Okay. So the fact that they've been a previous patient, there's nothing in the law or in the standards that say, okay, you get a pass, you get to deal with things a little bit differently under those circumstances.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, and was this billed for?
Yes.
All right, now let's turn to the next date of service in this case, and that would be under Bates 100. This would be the date of 1-9-2017. Who wrote this note?
Keith Fandry.
Okay, and so this was the supervising physical therapist who was supervising Ms. Lasky when she did the initial evaluation.
So what it indicates is that Mr. Fandry was aware, or delegated, but at least aware, that Ms. Lasky had performed the initial evaluation. This isn't of much concern to Mr. Fandry because he is the next person into treating this patient on the next day of service, and he is just fine with following the plan of care that his physical therapist set up by just providing treatment to the patient based upon that evaluation. And he signs that note indicating that all is well and good with this patient, even though he never engages in any examination of the patient.
Okay. All right. So in a way, it's his tacit approval of the practice of a physical therapist assistant doing an initial evaluation.
I think it speaks to the environment at Back in Action and what was allowed and not allowed, what supervision occurred and didn't occur. It does seem pretty free-willing. It definitely, in this case, indicates that Mr. Fandry is totally complacent with what is happening in the record of SR.
All right. Then turning to the next note in this case, and it would be the January 7th, 2017 note.
January 9th. Mr. Fandry was there on January 7th?
Right, and I believe this is the 9th.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Yes, okay, and this was Ms. Lasky's note. Could you please summarize what concerns you would have about this note?
Well, I mean, the concerns stem from the fact that an examination hasn't been performed by a physical therapist, which means until such time that examination is performed by a physical therapist, all treatment up to this point is not physical therapy. And as you can see, this goes on for months, billed for months, and paid for. And so the concern to start off is that everyone is continuing to treat this patient, but no one has taken the time to actually examine her. And then some of the specifics that we find in January 9th, again, we have Ms. Lasky documenting a January 9th visit on March 14th, approximately 8 weeks after the treatments rendered. Keith, Mr. Fandry co-signs it, indicating he's the supervising physical therapist. The schedule indicates that Mr. Fandry is not in the facility at the time of this treatment either. There is no documentation of general supervision being performed. And again, none of this is physical therapy because it has not been examined by a physical therapist.
Okay, now what, hypothetically, what if the patient were to come in and say, but I felt like I got great care? What would be the response to that?
Well, I mean, I'm glad the patient was unaware of the treatment they weren't receiving, and that it means that the people in the facility are probably very nice, but it doesn't preclude, her happiness isn't the end range of physical therapy treatment. The treatment should be a plan of care that has specific goals to obtain a specific specific objective finding, and it has nothing to do with the patient happiness of whether they believe the care they received was good or bad.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that insight. But I'd like to turn your attention to page 114, and this is a daily treatment note of 130 that is signed by Ms. Lasky on March 15th. So again, we have a delay in the signature here. Under the objective findings, I'd like you to draw your attention to, that would be Bates 110. Are these objective findings, are they similar, or are they?
So the documentation of objecting findings on 130 are identical to the findings on 126.
All right, and do you have any other comments about this note?
I'm sure. Let's see. So again, there's been no examination. We're already into March. Remember, she started in January. Because there is no examination of the patient yet, this is still not physical therapy services being provided. We definitely have a manipulation occurring to the thoracic and cervical spine of this patient that occurs on this day, a date of service that is performed by Ms. Lasky. Those are probably the highlights of this day.
Okay, again, we have this continuous course of conduct where this patient has never been evaluated by physical therapy.
Correct, and we have a thoracic and cervical manipulation being performed by Ms. Lasky when nobody has examined this patient yet.
Okay, all right, thank you. Let's turn to Bates 119. And again, the date of service on this is would be February 6, 2017, so now we're into February. And when does Ms. Lasky sign this note? When does Mr. Fandry sign this note?
So dates of service was 2-6-17. Ms. Lasky closes the note on March 15, 2017. Keith Fandry co-signs the note on the same day.
Okay. And again, as far as the objective findings, are those the same that are found on Bates 110 and 114?
So what we find is potentially some copying forward of records, because the objective findings are identical to dates of service 126, 130, and 22.
Okay. And then based on this note, is this sufficient enough for a therapist to assume the care of the patient? Well, we don't, I mean, even if we had an initial evaluation.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Okay. All right, so that would be a no.
That would be a no.
Okay. Thank you. If you could turn to Bates 128. And this is a note of March 1.
This is a note of March 1st, correct?
Yes. Okay. All right. And when was this note finalized?
So Ms. Lasky concludes the documentation of this note on the same day, March 1st.
Okay. All right. And is the supervising physical therapist in the facility at this time?
So the schedule does not indicate that Mr. Fandy is present in the facility.
Okay. And what about I have a question about the assessment. Patient reported SXS relief.
Symptoms relief.
Right. Post-treatment with objective improvement as anticipated. And then it says continuing with the home exercise program. Okay, and I know that this isn't physical therapy because nobody has assessed this patient. But that assessment standing alone, do you have any concerns about that?
So the concern is the end of that sentence, which is a modification to the plan of care in which Ms. Lasky documents that the treatment is going to be changed to one time a week for 4 weeks. So Ms. Lasky is making a change to her own plan of care, determining the frequency that the patient will be continue to be treated.
I want to draw your attention to Bates 131, and this would be a date of treatment of 3-10-2017. All right, so we're already into March. Can you please summarize this note?
So treatment date is March 10th, 2017. Ms. Lasky closes the note 5 days later, of March 15th. Keith Fandry co-signs that note 5 days later, March 20th. Schedule does not indicate that Mr. Fandry is in the office. Ms. Lasky does not indicate she's working under general supervision. The subjective report is identical to the date of service of 2/20. The objective findings is identical to the date of service of 2/20. There is, I think that is all the highlights of that date of service.
Okay. All right, let's move ahead to the next date of service, and that would be at date 134, and it was a daily treatment note of March 17th, 2017. Can you summarize your concerns regarding this note, above and beyond that this patient has not received an evaluation by physical therapist?
So on March 17th, just get the note in front of me. Here we go. On March 17th, we have that note being concluded by Ms. Lasky on the next day, co-signed by Keith on April 5th. The schedule indicates that Mr. Fandry's not in the facility on this date of service. Ms. Lasky does not indicate that she's working under general supervision. However, there is a PT in the facility according to the schedule of Mr. Farage. However, it's Mr. Landry who's co-signing that he is the supervising physical therapist on this date of service.
Okay, and under one of the assessment in diagnosis, it says a great response and it's toward the bottom. Can you please read that to the record?
So under the assessment, a great response to cervical and thoracic manipulation, or HLVA, with reported symptom reduction post-treatment.
Okay. So again, we have the performance of that treatment, and we do not even have physical therapists that have assessed this patient.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Moving now to dates number 140. This would be another note written by Ms. Lasky on 3/24/2017. Can you summarize your findings on this?
3/24/17, Ms. Lasky concludes the documentation on the same day, March 24th. Mr. Fandry co-signs on April 5th. The schedule indicates Mr. Fandry is not in the facility. The schedule indicates that the documentation indicates that Ms. Lasky is not working under general supervision. Again, we have a patient schedule under Mr. Farage. However, Mr. Fandry is the co-signer, indicating that he was supervising physical therapist at the time.
Okay. And then again, at this time, Ms. Lasky stated in her interview to you that as chief operations officer, she was responsible for the scheduling and the supervision. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Then I want to draw your attention to one of our licensed massage therapist notes, and that would be at Bates 143. Turning to this note, it was written by Mr. Hodge, licensed massage therapist. And again, there's that reoccurring language. It's under assessment. It says documentation has been reviewed and services provided by the PTA were administrated under the direct supervision of the therapist. Now, that is, again, the language that's repeated in all the massage therapy notes and the acupuncture notes. Is that correct?
That's correct. It looks like it was a standardized sentence that was clicked in to appear that a physical therapist assistant had participated in the care on that day.
But do we even know what happened? Did they participate in the plan of care at that time?
There is no documentation to indicate that a physical therapist assistant was involved in the plan of care on this day.
Okay. All right. And then turning to Bates 146. This is an April 4th note that it's signed by Dr. Fandry. Now, in this note, on April 4th of 2017, Dr. Fandry gets back in with this patient. Does Dr. Fandry do an initial evaluation and evaluate this patient?
No, he does not.
What does he do?
He actually copies forward the subjective that's identical to dates of service 220, 310, 322, and 325. And he proceeds with treatment without ever again documenting an examination of the patient. The assessment is actually copied forward, which is identical to the same assessment noted on 2/2 and 2/20.
Okay. So this, again, reflects on the culture of back in action, that the physical therapist jumps into the care of the patient and...
And he's still unaware that his patient has yet to be examined by himself.
Okay. All right. Now, I get to fast forward a little bit here. I'm sure that everybody's going to be happy about this. I know this has taken a lot of time, but it's really important to go through all these records. I'd like to draw your attention to... base 156, and this is a date that you've already referred to, Dr. Donahue, regarding the ED visit. And this is the April 19, 2017 documentation. Now, at this point, there has not been a physical therapist that has assessed patient SR, has there?
There has not.
Okay. All right. Can you walk us through and tell us what happened on this date?
So if we put it all together, no physical therapist has examined this patient. We are now 4 months down the road where we read in the subjective, and we know Ms. Lasky's aware of it because she documented it, and I'll quote, patient complains of significant right, mid to low back and hip pain, which seems to radiate to the groin. The patient takes herself to the ED, so it reports that there was an ED visit where CBC and pelvic imaging was conducted without resultant diagnosis. Patient mentions that the symptoms have occurred suddenly. So that is Ms. Lasky's documentation. She is fully aware that there is a marked and major change in the patient's status up to this point.
Okay. All right. What should have happened on this date?
She should have immediately communicated that to her supervising physical therapist, which is indicated by the co-signature to be Mr. Fandry. Mr. Fandry should have engaged in a reevaluation of the patient before Ms. Lasky ever performed any interventions.
Okay. All right. And that should have been documented in the record. Is that correct?
It was not documented in the record.
All right. That's correct.
It should have occurred.
It should have occurred, and it didn't occur.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Instead, what did Ms. Lasky do to this patient?
So instead, Ms. Lasky performs her own examination, as indicated in the documentation, where she writes, and I quote, lumbar flexion extension moderately limited, thoracic extension moderately to max limited, PAM, and I am unsure what PAM stands for, T10 to T12, RRX-X7, I don't know what that means either, right quadratus laborum and iliopsoas oblique ATRP.
Okay, so describe in layman's terms what's going on with this patient.
The patient obviously had a significant change in status to where they took themselves to the ER based upon the pain that they were having. And then a physical therapist doesn't come in and do a re-eval. Ms. Lasky takes it upon herself to continue with treatment.
Okay. And then at the bottom under assessment and diagnosis, it seems that Ms. Lasky diagnosed that the patient responded very well to a HVLAT. Can you explain what she did?
So the concerning part, of course, is that the patient takes herself to an ED. She's having more radicular symptoms, meaning that there is some serious impairment to the neurological system with radiating pain into the leg. And independent of any physical therapist, Ms. Lasky decides that she's going to do a lumbar HVLAT manipulation to the spine without, again, any physical therapist taking a look at the change in status of this patient or performing any evaluation of to this point at all.
Thank you. Does this patient eventually get evaluated by a physical therapist?
It happens way late.
Okay.
And I believe it's actually at discharge.
Okay. And would that actually be on May 8th of 2017 at base 172?
That is the first time in this entire episode, well, this entire time the patient has been showing up at the clinic, that a physical therapist is actually documenting a re-examination or examination of the patient.
All right. And can you summarize this note?
Well, it's interesting to note that the physical therapist, which is Mr. Fandry, at this point is copying in forward Ms. Lasky's initial evaluation and then deciding for himself to do the exact same measurements she has done to determine how the patient is progressing toward goals he's never set. I don't know quite how to tell you all that, but he moves forward Ms. Lasky's initial evaluation and then just modifies her evaluation to count as the re-examination.
Okay, and does it look like, according to this note, that the patient, well, I mean, I, do do we really know what happened to the patient during this course of not treatment?
There are objective tests and measures that show changes. But again, you can't conclude that the original objective tests and measures are accurate in any way. So it's impossible to know if there's any progress going on in this patient or not based upon objective findings. The subjective tells you that the patient reports significant improvement in their condition with improved hip, lumbar spine, and near absence of neck pain, although she continues to have some persisting, and it's a period, so I don't know what's left. Patient reports 50% improvement overall. So if you go by patient subjective, she thinks she's half better after 5 months of care compared to her initial evaluation.
Okay, all right, but the initial evaluation was invalid, so we can't really use it as a starting point.
There is no starting point.
Correct. All right. Okay, Dr. Donahue, based on all of your review of the records, do you have any further comments that you'd like to share in this case regarding your investigation?
No,
as,
I mean,
as a doctor, physical therapist.
Well, just what we've talked about. A physical therapist never engaged this patient, never did an examination in this patient. So everything leading up to the May date of service where Mr. Fanderley finally decides to do a discharge note, which he calls a reevaluation, none of this is physical therapy up to this point. This patient, according, was billed services. However, it was billed, she was a lean patient or a motor vehicle accident, and all of these bills went to the lawyers group, I believe, for that. But the patient never received any care all the way from start to finish. And it shows, I think it's a classic example, and this is why I pulled it out, is the investigation of the environment of back in action, where everybody is free-floating, everybody's doing their own thing, and there's nobody paying attention to anything that's going on, to the point where we have an entire episode of care with a patient that was never seen by a physical therapist. And when it was seen, it didn't occur to the physical therapist that an examination should occur. So there's a lot of complacency in the overall environment of the company.
All right, thank you. I don't have any other further questions of you, Dr. Donahue. I believe all of those exhibits have been admitted.
Who's got a red light?
Yeah.
She does.
Okay. You do?
One of them is related to the date of service that was implied that the patient was not in the facility that I had billed for. If you would reference page 430, you will see that she was...
Which patient?
I'm sorry. I should find that.
That's okay.
EM.
Okay.
So that would be...
Please.
I'll get this. Right. EM. Okay.
Or date of service, I can do it either
way. Date of service is 1-3, and that would be the second patient we reviewed. So it's under 6. Exhibit 6. The schedule is on...
Date of service 1-3?
I'm sorry?
Date of service 1-3-17?
Yes, and that would be the schedule on page 430. So the patient...
Hang on one second.
Sure.
Let me pull up the schedule.
So that would be at Bates 234.
Is that right?
Yeah,
last schedule.
The schedule is on 430.
You should have a copy of the schedule.
But that's right. I'm pulling it up electronically.
Yeah, you have it.
I think I'm going to pull it up electronically. There we go. We're looking for date of service 1-3. Okay, I'm there. I'm with you.
So this patient on my schedule listed at 10 a.m. Her check-in time is 10:05, according to the roster where the clerical team puts.
So on 1-3, the point is that Ms. Lish is not in the facility on this date of service until she arrives. I'm sorry, I'm switching screens. So she does not arrive because she is the one that co-signs your note. She doesn't have a patient until 1:30 a.m.
Correct. I believe the question was whether the patient was actually in the facility that day, that date of service.
That was the concern
that Ms. Baskin had brought up.
So the findings were that the schedule indicates that Ms. Lish isn't, schedule indicates that Ms. Marmo is not listed on Ms. Baskin's schedule. Let me blow that back up. Let's check. You are correct. That is an error. You see Ms. Marks at 10 a.m. on your schedule.
So, my next question is, how are you familiar with the use of WebPT?
I have reviewed many notes on WebPT. I don't
have you actually WebPT.
Okay. I don't engage in the services of WebPT for my clinical documentation.
Gotcha. And then are you familiar with what an equipment called spine pulses?
No, I'm not. It's been explained to me, but I've never seen that piece of equipment.
And then you've seen that come across the flow sheets in the exercise section of the documentation.
In one of these three records?
Yeah.
I don't know. You can identify it for me if you would like.
So there was a date of service in question where allegedly I had overbilled for physical or therapeutic exercise activities and for patient YG, and that is under Exhibit 7.
Okay.
So the, I'll have to go
what
back
date,
on the
what date, is
date of service in question here.
Okay, hold on.
For YG.
Okay, we're on YG.
But you had estimated that she was pretty much around the time frame of maybe 3 to 5 minutes.
Do you have a date of service?
Sorry. I'm sorry to keep everybody.
No, take your time.
Oh, okay. So it's date of service 3/18 in question.
3/18.
I think it's 3:58.
Thank you. Wait,
three.
No, I'm getting 3:58.
Are we on
YG? Sure.
Okay. Wait a minute, is that? That's 3:08.
3:58?
3:08:17, or what other date? Or are we on?
So you're looking for Date of service, 3/18/17.
That's two. That's 370.
Yeah, okay, now on that one.
For patient,
is it 380?
I'm with it. What's your question?
Okay, so you had guesstimated that exercise takes obviously 8 minutes for a billable unit, and that the patient had not completed enough of time for the exercise portion for that to be a valid charge?
Oh, no. What case. I was referring to is that because there is a unit of therapeutic exercise billed, the minimum amount of time that I could attribute to that occurring would be 8 minutes. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay.
So that, thank you for clarifying, by the way.
Yeah.
You put it in nicer words than I can.
Okay.
So the Spine Force is a biofeedback-based unit that takes about 3 minutes to set up. And during that time, there's patient education that goes on, again, to determine the way the equipment is being should be utilized and the purpose for that activity. And then the actual exercise takes about another, roughly about 5-6 minutes. To perform.
Okay.
So my understanding was that patient education and that demonstration and setup is part of the direct one-on-one patient care time and can be billed as such.
Correct. So the point I was making on this date of service wasn't that things were not performed or that you billed because you didn't do enough time. The point I was making on this date of service is that the units were not reflective of the actual time that was documented, which was 83 minutes. When you documented 83 minutes, however, the date of service indicates, according to the documentation, that the patient was only there from 8:30 to 9:30. So according to the documentation, they were there for 60 minutes. The flow sheet indicates that at a minimum there are 83 minutes of treatment performed.
So my understanding and my training and my education was that when a patient has to wait, we don't bill for that time. So if there's a lag in the waiting area, or where there's setup delayed, or if they're waiting for me to set it up, I
right.
Know,
and so, and I did not take any wait time into effect. What I'm taking is the actual documentation that says this is how many minutes we performed this. So in this case, it was the manual therapy to the thoracic junction, the cervical spine, is documented at 40 minutes. So there's 40 minutes, because that's what it said it took. And then if we come down, when we see the STM, we see that was done to the thoracic and lumbar spine. There's a specific time frame of 20 minutes there. Do you see
so
that?
So that's part of manual time is usually a cumulative of everything that's been done. So
right.
The 20 minutes would be part of that 40 minutes.
You can't even do an STM and doing the mobilizations at the same time. Would that be correct? Because you indicate that you're actually doing joint mobs, PA mobs, grade 2 and 3.
Correct, but for that time to occur and to assess during that response, during that time the patient responds, you do mobilizations at intervals. You don't
right.
just sit there for 20
minutes. So let me see if I understand what you're saying. You're trying to say that it was 40 minutes of total time.
Total manual.
And that 20 minutes of that was all of this up above and 20 minutes was the STM?
That is correct.
Okay. That's not the way it's documented.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And that's, I can see where the confusion comes in on that one.
Okay. And then there were 10 minutes of IFC and HPAC. So even if we do that again, the time frames are a little goofy.
So am I to understand that the documentation should reflect the entire patient's presence in the facility, regardless of them being tended to?
You know, the law doesn't indicate how you document, but what it wants to be is reflective of the care that was received.
Right?
So there's many ways that can be done. Some people do total time in and out, which what it appears that this particular software does, and the indication that they came in at 3 o'clock and came out at 4 o'clock, whatever it was. So then the flow sheet needs to be representative of the time that you say the patient came in and the patient left. So they have to be all congruent.
Certainly. Thank you for your answer.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, one last addition on patient. Back to EM.
Right.
the initials, right? Again, nowhere near has the note reflected that, but I do want to clarify that the transfer in care should have been marked as such, and the provider should have been changed in the system, which is a completely different issue that we've had to Dr. Fandry. So the day that you had referenced that I was being treated, I believe those were the two dates. I'm sorry, everything is just too much on top. The patient was in the facility getting the massage therapy session.
Okay.
Do you have a date of service? 3/27.
Okay, let me get there.
And it's under Exhibit 6 here. Yes, ma'am. So that would be on page 268 or 266.
27, correct? Is that the date of service you're interested
in? The date of service 327, yeah.
Okay.
It might be easier if you look on
your question?
So you had indicated that I had performed the reexamination of this patient.
Not on this date, not on 327. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 321?
I'm looking. Yes, on 321. Correct.
So the schedule did not, from what I could tell, schedule did not indicate that I was scheduled to work that day.
Great. Let me pull up the schedule.
If we go on.
On 321, it says closed under your name on 321, closed for the entire day. And that is, well, I can't help you get there.
Yes. I have the schedule here.
So on 321, you're totally blacked out on that date of service.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
So I just want to clarify that I probably...
Ms. Lasky, you need to ask her a question. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm not much into the legal system. Obviously, I have no idea how to ask questions in this regard. But I guess what is it that made you conclude that I had done that reevaluation?
Because you cited it.
Why is it not a possibility that the system is set up with a different date of service and I wasn't paying attention clearly to what I was doing? Because I certainly don't recall doing the reexamination on this patient.
Right. I agree with you. I think you probably don't recall that you did it. I'm not sure it was actually done. The documentation indicates that you documented a reevaluation on this date that could have been documented any time before your signature on April 17th. But what you signed was that you engaged and performed in a reexamination of the patient on 321. That's what your signature indicates when you sign a document.
Okay, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I believe I still have a patient waiting.
Do you need a recess or a break?
A couple of minutes. I'm not sure if she's still here, actually. So
we can do one of several things. We can take a break. We can Does this state intend to do a redirect?
Of Dr. Donahue?
Yes.
No, I think Dr. Donahue.
All right, so if it's okay with you, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, then you present whatever witnesses you have, and we'll go from there. Hopefully she's still here.
Ask you for a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a break.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's still here. Okay. Is what do you need? 5-10 minutes?
5 minutes.
Five minutes? Okay.
Yeah.
Recess at 1:49.